You can leave your Bibles open to Luke chapter 8. We'll spend our time there with the rest of this morning. Luke chapter 8. Before I begin, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Mo, to Steve, for the opportunity to come up to speak with you, to give some lessons with you, to spend time with you over this weekend. I've really appreciated this opportunity, appreciate their call on me. That was 2 years ago. I remember Mo called me. He's like, hey, would you like to a gospel meeting? It'll be, what are we, 2022? And I was just like, yeah, I'm empty. I'm nothing. So I appreciated Mo calling me. And so I really have enjoyed the time to spend with you, to open God's Word together with you. I also want to be sure to thank you, because this church has partnered with me, with the church in Boston, the whole time that I've been there, and I think longer than that. I know with Dan, Kane as well, partners as well, maybe even Justin as well, Justin Dobbs, and I think with Curtis also. Is that true? No? Not yet? Okay. So, I just want to say thank you from me, from my family, for your help in supporting us in the work there in Boston. Really appreciate how this church has always really cared for the work there in Boston. It's now, I think, 10, 11 years old. And I know they stole a couple, at least one family, the Dorado family, from you. And so at that time, and so just really, really thankful for this congregation, for your willingness, your sacrifice. It was mentioned earlier in the prayer with the collection of your sacrifice, of your money, to help spread the gospel, not only here in this community, in the Tingsboro area, but also in the city of Boston, and I know others as well. So just thank you so much from me, from my family. Really appreciate that. So we're in Luke chapter 8, and I want to ask you a question. Has this happened to you? You sit down, you read your Bible, and while you're reading, you come across one of those verses. You know the one, right? It just blows your mind. You're like, I needed that. I needed it right now. How is it that God knew I needed to read that verse right now? It was encouraging. It was helpful. It was convicting. It was something. It was what I needed. And you close your Bible, and you move on with the rest of your day, right? Life happens, and you completely forgot about what you read. That amazing, life-changing truth that you needed in that moment is now gone, flown away like a bird. It's frustrating, right? It's frustrating. We know the Bible is God's wisdom, and we strive to live by it. That's why we're here this morning. We're striving to live by God's wisdom. We want to grow in our spiritual walk. We want to stop struggling with those same temptations that we often struggle with. But sometimes we so quickly forget the words of God after we read them that we remain stuck. Stuck in those sinful habits. And I'll tell you, if we do this long enough, where we read and forget, read and forget, read and forget, we're going to start to put the blame on the Bible. And say, you know what? That's not really that helpful. I tried it. Right? I tried it. I've read it for years. It just doesn't help me. Maybe we're feeling stagnant, because we see that our spiritual growth is slowed down or stopped. We're going backwards. But I'm here to tell you there's a tool that will help you to not feel this way. This tool will place God's Word deeply in your mind and in your heart. This tool will help you grow in your faith. This tool will help you change the parts of your life that you know need to be changed. This tool is like fertilizer being put on the seed that is God's Word. This tool is meditation. This morning we're going to see how meditation can help us grow and bear fruit as Christians. And then, so we're going to see how it works, right? And then we're going to learn practical ways of how to incorporate it into our lives, into our daily lives. So we're going to read Luke chapter 8. Michael read chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. So I'm going to pick up beginning in verse 9. Luke 8, beginning in verse 9. You all know what we've read, right? The parable of the sower. This is familiar territory for probably a lot of us, right? Where the sower went out and he sowed seed on different grounds. Now pick it up in verse 9. Luke 8, verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved." Verse 13, "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on in their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." Verse 16, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." This parable, Jesus is using seed and different types of ground to describe the different types of people and how they respond to hearing God's word. Each of them hears the same word. Each of them. All four types of people hear the exact same word, yet each of them responds in a very different way. Those on the path, they reject it outright. Not interested. The soil that has rocks and thorns in it, accept it. Accept it even with joy, right? But they eventually fall away. But the good soil hears that word and ultimately bears tremendous amounts of fruit. This morning I want to look at the difference between the rocky and thorny ground as compared to the good ground. What was the difference? What did those described as good soil do that the rocky and the thorny soil did not do? And after studying this text, I found that one of the differences was the good soil meditated on the word. They didn't just simply read it and accept it. To see this, we're going to focus our study this morning specifically on verses 15 through 18. So as we begin, I need to define meditation, both what it is and what it is not. Meditation is not sitting still with an empty mind. That's not the kind of meditation we're talking about here. Simple point, right? This is a simple point. Many people think when they hear the idea of meditation is that that's maybe sitting in a comfortable position, you have your eyes closed, and you're just focusing on your breath. Nothing against that type of meditation. That's fine, right? That type of meditation has benefits, maybe it reduces stress, but that type of meditation will not help you grow or bear fruit in your Christian walk. So that's not what we're talking about. That's not the type of meditation we're talking about. But the next thing I want you to see is meditation is not simply reading the Bible. I think you see this in the parable. You see this in the parable of the sower, right? I want you to follow with me real quick. Verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Okay? They heard what? They heard the word. Verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word. Okay? Verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. Finally, verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word. All of them heard the word. All of them. Maybe all of them pulled out their Bible and read it that day. All of them. Yet each responded in a drastically different way. Each had a drastically different outcome. And I think this shows that hearing or reading the Word is not enough to grow or bear fruit. And I think we know this intuitively. You probably know someone in your life that says they read the Bible every day. And you look at their life and say, how? How is it you live that way and you say you read the Bible every day? It's obvious there is something missing there. Maybe you felt it in your own life. You spend time reading the Bible, but you still have the same struggles. You look back, you're like, I've been reading for 5 years and I still look the same. You can look back over a period of time and not see growth. But the problem is not the Bible. It's we're not using all the tools that God gave us. Reading the Word is great. Reading the Word is absolutely necessary. But reading is not enough. There needs to be something else. We need to do something with that Word in order for it to grow and be fruitful. And the answer is we need to meditate. Now let's look at Luke 8, verse 15. At those who are the good soil and those who are the good soil to learn what meditation looks like. Read with me Luke 8, verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Meditation is holding fast to the Word in an honest and good heart. I think these are two keys to meditation in this verse 15. First, we need to hold fast to the Word. This is the same idea of holding tightly to it, not letting it go. Hold on to the Word like you are holding on to your life, like you're the toddler holding on to your mom's leg. There is effort behind the term. There's determination behind the term. Holding fast to the Word goes beyond a casual reading and then closing and moving on about my day. It is hearing something in the Word and knowing I need that truth, wisdom right now. And I want to hold on to it. It's grasping to it for life. It's holding it close and not letting it go. But there's more to it than just holding to it. There's more to it. And that's that next part. that we see in verse 15 of having an honest and good heart. Parable of the sower is all about the word and about the heart. Each of the soils hear, but they interact with the word differently. The good soil is the one who holds fast to the word in his or her heart. But there's something different about this heart. It is honest and good. This is not what I mean when I say an honest heart. Honesty here is not talking about speaking truthfully. That's not the idea here. This is having a heart that is being honest with yourself. God's word will not change us if we don't look in the mirror and say, I don't match up. We have to be truthful with ourselves. An honest and good heart will look inside and compare ourselves with the Word of God. We will look at our motivations, our attitudes, and see, does that compare with what I see in Scripture? And that honest reflection will cause us to grow and change, to look like what God desires, to look like His Son. Meditation is hearing the Word and holding on to it, not just letting it float off. And meditation requires having an honest heart so that you can reflect on the Word. And now let's go into verses 16 and 18 to see more about this honest reflection. And with those verses, we're going to learn meditation is letting the Word illuminate the hidden parts of our heart. Read with me verses 16 through 18. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Jesus explains how foolish it would be to light a lamp and then just cover it up. No one does that. You use a lamp, set it on a stand, and let it light up the whole room around you. That's the purpose. However, this is what we do when we hear the word without meditating on it. Reading the Bible is striking that match and lighting the lamp of God's word. But if after finishing our reading we close the book and don't think about what we read, we're just putting a cover over it. Covering that lamp. We're not letting the light do its work. This is what meditation involves. Lighting the lamp by reading the Word of God, then letting His Word illuminate those hidden parts of our hearts. That's what it's talking about in verse 17. Letting the hidden and secret things become manifest or apparent, seen. Here's an example of what this could look like. We read Jesus' teaching. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Sermon on the Mount. Instead of just reading and thinking that, yeah, I agree with that. That's good. Or maybe I read it and I think, man, really wish so-and-so had read that. They really need that. They really struggle with practicing their righteousness to be seen by others. Instead, you read it and ask yourself, do I do that? Am I guilty of this? Do I practice my righteousness to be seen by others? Am I more concerned about what other people think about me than what God thinks? That's meditation. It's when we illuminate these dark, hidden parts of our heart that we will begin to let God's Word change us. We may notice that our motivations are not as they should be. We may see that hidden pride or selfishness that no one else knows about. We may see where our faith and trust in God is lacking because of our fears. But when we finally see those parts, then we won't like it. And we'll decide to change and ask for God for help. Then we'll be able to use other parts of God's Word, His wisdom, and prayer to grow in those areas of weakness. And I think this is the promise that we see in verse 18. Read with me verse 18 again. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. When we are careful how we hear, meaning when we hear the Word and meditate on it, then God will give to us. He will make us grow. However, when we don't, then what we have will just be taken away. This is what happened to the rocky and thorny soils, right? They had joy. They heard the Word. Wonderful. This is great. I love this. I want to change my life for this. They saw the amazing truths, the wisdom. Same as the good soil. They saw the promises. Yet they did not allow God's Word to illuminate their hidden motivations and struggles. Then what happened? The persecutions arise and what? They fall away. Because they had not let the Word take root in their lives. When the temptations continued to surround them like weeds and thorns, the Word was choked out because they did not allow the Word to show how they were susceptible to those temptations. They did not grow because they did not meditate. Meditation is the fertilizer that we can put on God's Word, which will help it to grow and bear fruit in our hearts. This will only happen when we spend time thinking about God's Word and comparing it with our heart. So we've seen so far, we're learning about meditation. Meditation is not sitting still with an empty mind. It is not simply reading the Bible. It is holding fast to it, holding strong with an honest and good heart, and letting that Word illuminate those hidden parts of our heart. Now we're going to talk about how to do it. How do we do it? This is extremely practical. That is the plan for the rest of the lesson, to practically talk about how to meditate. To begin, I do want to say this. This is not a one-size-fits-all plan. I have not gotten it figured out. And said, oh look, I wrote down all the steps, here it is, this is what it looks like. The reason for that is we're all different. We all are different. We have different things that pull us, different time, whatever. So for some, meditating can be a very focused time of your day or your week. You have the opportunity to sit down an hour to spend quiet time thinking about what you just read. And just letting it bounce around and say, do I do that? Do I struggle with that? How can I grow in this? For others, you don't have that. And I get it. Meditating may happen in random moments throughout the day. It may be the 15 minutes in the car on the way to work. Or it may be the 5 minutes you get while you're taking a shower. For me, one of the times that I'm able to use is I have a dog. He has to walk every day. So I can sometimes use that time to meditate. All of us will meditate differently. But here are some ideas to help get you started. The first point I do want to bring up is to beware distractions. Read with me Psalm 119 verse 15 up on the screen. I will meditate on your eyes. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I want you to notice that phrase, fix my eyes. That's the idea of focusing on something. Like telling the child who's learning how to catch, keep your eye on the ball. It's telling them to not let anything distract you. I'm tossing a ball at your head. If you look over there, it's going to hit your head. Keep your eye on the ball. Focus on it. And the psalmist is saying that he won't get distracted when he meditates on God's Word. Isn't this hard? We have so many things that are pulling at us. Every direction. And one of the biggest distractions is probably very nearby all of you right now. It's that phone. Right? What does that phone do? It dings. It buzzes. It plays music. It has all the notifications to tell me something that I have to hear right now. I have to see it right now. But meditating on God's Word cannot be done when you're distracted. It won't work. It will not work. So maybe this means on my car ride today, I'm not going to listen to the podcast, the news, sports talk, whatever today. Today, I'm going to, I'm going to take that 15 minutes. I'm going to think about what I read that morning. Maybe it's when it's Bible reading time, you actually leave the phone in the other room. Maybe you click the little thing on the side to quit making noise. Satan wants to distract you. He wants to. He wants to fill up your time so that you don't meditate on God's Word. He doesn't even have to use bad stuff. Don't let him win that battle for your heart. Beware of the distractions. That's number one. Number two is to be specific. So when we need to choose what we're going to meditate on. It can be something that struck you from your daily Bible reading. That's fine. It can be a scripture meditation plan, maybe that you made up, maybe that you found on the internet. That would be great. But have a plan. And I'll say this, don't be too broad. I came across this one day as I was actually when I was making this lesson, and our Bible classes were in the Proverbs at that time, and we were reading Proverbs 12. I was like, I'm going to meditate on Proverbs 12. Have you tried to meditate on a chapter of Proverbs? It's got 87 topics. You can't. Like, I don't know that you can unless you want to meditate for a really long time, which is great. If you do that, wonderful. What I mean by that is focus. Maybe it's you chose two of the Proverbs in that chapter. You say, how does this work for me? How does this? Maybe instead of saying, I'm going to meditate on the Sermon on the Mount, you choose a section of the Sermon on the Mount. I'll tell you, you want a beneficial time? Meditate on a beatitude. One verse. You will be blessed. Maybe you meditate on a single psalm. Maybe a single parable of Jesus, not the entire chapter. Maybe you choose to meditate on something for that particular day. Maybe you choose to meditate something for a week, a month, a year. But choose something to meditate on. And what I mean by that is, don't just think it'll randomly happen at all. Choose it. Be specific in your meditation. Number three, how to meditate is to then think it out. This is the primary part of meditating. This is the work. Thinking about the Word. This is what it looks like for me. I want to share this with you. I read scripture, and then I ask questions. And then I make sure to answer those questions about the scripture. These can be simple questions. In fact, I'll give you a set of them here in a second. First set of questions are to help me understand God's Word. Because understanding is important. If I don't understand what it says, then it won't be God's truth. We all know that. Right? You could read a scripture and you don't know the context, and you could be destroying it. You could be reading a quote from Satan and saying, yep, God's Word. And Satan's lying to you. So you need to know what's going on. So to get to some of that truth, I ask myself, what does this mean? What does this mean? What is God saying right here? That may mean there's a word I don't understand. I'm going to look it up. That's the beginning. What does this mean? But then I think the next step is really good, and this is where I get a lot of benefit, is how would I explain it to someone else? Because you can tell yourself you understand it, but if you can't explain it to maybe a teenager or a child, you don't understand it. So ask yourself, how would I explain this? I'm reading this, I think I get it. But then you look and you're like, okay, but would I be able to tell that person? Would I be able to tell my coworker what this means? How would I explain it to someone else? Spend the time going through those answers. Then, after I've answered those questions, then I feel like I have a decent handle on understanding the Word. That's when the second set of questions come in, and they help me to apply it to my life. The application questions are, am I doing this or not doing this, and why or why not? Am I living like I believe this truth? Why or why not? Or why do I give excuses to not do these things? I'll tell you, the why or why not question is important. Because that's when you truly are diving into the hidden parts of your heart and letting God's Word illuminate it. That's when you're going to see your true motivation. That's when you may see your pride. That's when you may see your fear. Other people probably see it. You may not. But we need to. By the way, I do want to say that this, like, thinking it out and going through all these questions, I'm not saying that this necessarily is a daily thing for you. Again, this isn't a one-size-fits-all. But I do think this is absolutely one of the best ways, is to really dive in and ask these questions. But I will say this. This will hurt. It'll hurt your brain. It'll hurt your heart. This will hurt. But give yourself time. Give yourself time. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't hear the ding of the phone and go grab it again. Give yourself time. The idea of meditation is the idea of marinating. In order to marinate for cooking, you need to allow the meat time to sit in the marinade. You don't dip it in and then just throw it on the grill, do you? Meditating, you need to give your heart time to sit in the Word and let it do the work. Number four, write it out. This goes along with think it out. It's really similar. I do think, and I just share this with you, I do think writing is very beneficial. There's lots of scientific studies, I'm not going to give them to you, about the benefits of writing. So this could look a couple different ways. Maybe you decide you're just going to write the scripture that you want to meditate on. Maybe you have a journal, a book, whatever, that you write the scripture by hand out, and that's one way that will aid in your understanding. It's absolutely true. Another way to use writing would be to journal your thoughts about the Scripture. You can answer those same questions that I talked about. This is what I typically do, is I have a question, and then I write my answers. And why I think writing is good is it brings a lot more clarity than you think. I can tell you this. If I'm saying I'm meditating, I'm just kind of sitting there, my mind goes all the directions. But if I'm having to write my answer down, all of a sudden the clarity starts to kind of click in place. Plus, I'm not getting as distracted. And I know I said writing longhand, but I do actually type it. But it works. You may argue with me. I don't care. But write it out. Write it out. Because I can sit in a chair, I can read it, and say, okay, I'm going to think about it. Or maybe I'm on my walk with Barnabas, and we're going, and I'm starting to grind, and then literally a squirrel will run by. And of course, Barnabas wants to chase the squirrel. Writing helps us to clarify our thoughts, and it also helps us to stay focused. Number five, how to meditate. This is the last one. Pray it out. Prayer will connect your thinking about the Word with the power of God. The Lord wants you to understand His Word. I want you to hear that. The Lord wants you to understand it. He wants you to know it. He didn't make this difficult. He wants you to grow and bear fruit in your spiritual walk. He's not wanting you to be stunted. And so, if He wants you to know His Word and He wants you to grow, what will He do if you pray asking for it? He'll answer. He will respond. God will help you understand His Word. If you're putting in the work. By the way, don't skip steps 1 through 4 and just go to pray it out and say, hey God, help me understand, and walk away. I've tried that, I've done it, it doesn't work. You've got to put the work into it. But God will help you. He will strengthen you. He will help you to find the way of escape when temptations are coming. Those temptations that you were warned about. He'll help you find that. He'll help give you greater understanding of His amazing truths, and He will give you greater faith. Pray for it. Let prayer empower your meditation. So to meditate on Scripture, we need to be sure to beware of distractions. We need to be specific about what we're meditating on. Maybe have a plan. Then we need to think it out. That's the work. That's the meditating part. Write it out as connected with it. And then absolutely connect it with prayer, because that connects it deeply with God. To close out, I want to show you some scriptures that show the benefits of meditating on God's Word. Just couple scriptures and then we will be done. Joshua 1:8. I've got it up here on the screen. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I want you to notice what is said right here. When we meditate on God's Word, what's going to happen? We're going to be careful to do it. We're going to be careful to be obedient. We want that. We want to be obedient. We don't want to be disobedient. We don't want to have this Word and then not do it. That's not why you're here this morning. We want to be obedient. And so meditating on it is going to help with that. Also, I just want you to notice, there is an incredible promise that connects with if you meditate. Incredible blessings. Promise of being prosperous and having good success. Obviously, that may not necessarily mean physical. I think it did with Joshua. but I think it especially meant spiritual. You may not have physical prosperity, but you will have spiritual prosperity. You will grow. Your faith will grow. And you will have that home with Him in heaven. Absolutely true. One more set of verses. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. When we meditate, what's going to happen? We're going to grow and bear fruit. That's what this verse just said. You're going to be like a tree planted by a stream of water that leaves never wither and is always bearing fruit in its time. And again, we see at the end of these verses, you will prosper. The Lord will know our way. We will not perish. May the Lord bless all of you as well. As you strive to hold fast to His Word with an honest and good heart. May His Word illuminate those dark hidden parts of your heart that you need to work on. And may the Lord help you grow and bear fruit as you meditate on His Word. Thank you for your attention this weekend. Again, I really appreciate the time that we had together. I know at this time we're going to have a song here in just a second. So I want to end with, if there is anything that anyone here needs, if you need prayers, I know of this group, they would be happy to. If there is something you want to do to respond to God, now would be a wonderful time. So you could do that now at this time or any other time. Feel free to speak to anyone here. But now at this time, we're going to stand and sing.